Feels like an investigation might be warranted here.
What are we about to investigate now?
Well, all right.
You!
So,
what I do?
You were late.
I thought we were past
today's
this.
Today's not the day to ask, what did I do?
I'm just taking my cues from the center of the basketball team. Call people out publicly.
Joel Douglas.
Joel Douglas. All right, welcome back. Midday Show. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Buster Only, 1 o'clock. Talking about the Phillies. Alec Bohm, is he gone? And what could the Phillies get back? That's all coming up here. But, Hugh, we wanted to dive into something because sometimes things fly under the radar around here. Mm-hmm. You know, we got the Embiid situation going on. We're trying to stop Kyle from getting Nick Sirianni a contract extension too early. You know, we need to hone in on, like, things that slip through the cracks. And yesterday, Eagles practice, right? We're having a good time. Yesterday, we want to thank everyone coming out to Chickies for the Travis Manion Foundation.
Yeah.
You know, Lane's there, Mylotta's there, BG's there. They're all good. But yesterday, the Eagles had practice, right? Before those guys came over, they had practice, normal day. But I noticed on the injury report yesterday, Hugh, Jalen Hurts was listed as limited with an ankle issue. Now, in the past, remember, he wasn't actually listed with an ankle. Remember, it was rest. And then Nick Sirianni kind of slipped and said it was an ankle. This is the first time, I believe, this year he's been listed with an ankle issue. So let's listen to Jalen Hurts after practice yesterday. Here's how he explained what they're trying to do over there and what's going on with his ankle.
Yeah, just a little program we have for the mini bye. So I'm fine.
What do you feel like you're getting out of that? Do you feel stronger? Do you feel like it's helping?
Yeah, that's the goal, always. And really, throughout the course of a year, just really making sure you're doing the things you need to do to stay on top of stuff. And that's kind of what we're doing. A lot of other players are doing it as well. So just taking it a day at a time, like everything.
So I assume the mini bye came at a good time then to kind of get right a little bit. It's a long season.
Yeah, I say so. You know, and it's kind of crazy how it's played out because we've had, you know, this early bye week that we've had, you know, this time here. So I think, you know, even when we talk about just our game in general, assessing things and really taking the bye week to kind of go through the same process.
So a couple things there. One, the mini bye is good for them because their bye was very early this year, right? Mm-hmm. If we're talking about them going all the way to the Super Bowl, that's a lot of weeks of playing in a row without a break. So this was a little bit of a mini bye. Hugh, what do you make of it? So it's the first time they've acknowledged there's an ankle issue. And the way he framed it is, I'm fine, we're just doing a strengthening program. What does that sound like to you?
Well, when I read the story, it was something about a core workout that he adopted after the bye, where he wanted to try to strengthen and condition. That's what I read. So I assume that, you know, it was a way of saying that he wasn't hurt because this has been a big issue. You know, we know a close friend of ours who was taking a victory lap when they thought that, you know, the ankle thing was the non issue.
Oh, yeah, when I got yelled at by that friend of ours?
Yeah, that friend of ours. He likes to tell you, I told you so all the time. This feels like they're trying to fall into lockstep with that to keep them from getting in trouble. There's something going on with his ankle. But Jalen is the type of individual, I don't think he likes to be on the injury list.
I agree with you. I think it bothers him.
It's a sign of, you know, it's a sign of pride for him. So I don't have a problem with it. As long as it's not stopping his ability to play or hindering his ability to play, because I feel like this, at this time of year, everybody's banged up and everybody's dealing with something. Because if I'm not mistaken, I remember Tom Brady used to be on the injury report every week for like a knee the whole time he was in the NFL if I recall. And it's just one of those things. I don't think Jalen wants to be a part of that.
Look, I like the idea they're trying to get ahead of this because he's gone into the postseason banged up at pretty much every year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like 3 years ago, it was his ankle. 2 years ago, it was his shoulder. And then we didn't even know we were going to get out of him in the playoffs. And he ended up playing fine. And then the extra break before the Super Bowl, I think, really healed him even more. And he was great in the Super Bowl. And then last year, he had the knee issue all year. So this has been a thing with him every year. He plays a very physical player. He gets banged up. I'm not shocked he is. I don't know. I mean, it really doesn't seem like it's affected his game, which is important. Though now I am wondering, remember the throw he missed badly to AJ last week?
When we were looking like, what were you doing?
I wonder if he had trouble planting on that particular play. Because it was like, he threw it all weird. He didn't set his feet.
Yeah, and it was like right there. And AJ, you could see AJ was clearly frustrated after the throw.
Yeah, I mean, at first I thought it was just a bad miss. Now I wonder, did he feel something more on that play and he just didn't want to plant?
Just for the sake of that play, because I've watched it a few times, it almost looks like there was just a miscommunication on the route. Like, AJ sort of breaks backwards, and Hurts looks like he's throwing as though he's about to cut toward the ball.
Okay. And he, it was a mid, like a, like he and he just let the ball go.
I just think they miscommunicated on the route there.
It almost reminded me of, you know, when a pitcher, a time is called as a pitcher's going to the plate and he kind of spikes it into the ground.
Right.
Like, oh, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, like he's almost stopped himself in middle of the throw and it came out looking really bad.
I could
just be completely making that up, but that was at least what I
thought.
Well,
we throw out reckless theories on this show.
You want another reckless theory?
Yeah, I want to. So option one is he's got a real ankle injury and they've been trying to like mitigate this. Option two is it's just a little bit sore and they're trying to get ahead of it, and that's probably best case scenario. Option three.
You want full conspiracy?
Go for it.
Let's do it.
What if he's secretly in the concussion protocol?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, he didn't look.
And the ankle is a placeholder on the injury
report.
Remember
last Friday we speculated that he wasn't right after that game.
Yeah, he beat the concussion.
He beat the protocol.
Yeah.
He beat those concussion allegations.
They said rest when it was ankle. What if they're saying ankle when it's concussion? What if they're just back?
You know, I don't think he would play with that though. That's something you don't need to be playing with. I don't think he would play with that. It's full conspiracy time. Yeah. I hope he wouldn't do that.
I hope the Eagles wouldn't do that. I mean, that's going to get yourself in trouble there. We'll keep an eye on it. According to the reporters yesterday, it sounds like he's supposed to be full practice today. Yesterday, limited, strengthening program, whatever that means. And then I'll be watching today. If he's full, then away we go. And he's obviously going to play Sunday. If he's limited again, I think it's worth paying attention to. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get to a little throwback Thursday in a few minutes here before we get a big one against the Rams Sunday. Tom in Middletown is up on WIP. Hey, Tom.
Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Tom?
Hey, listen, Hugh.
Yes, sir.
I talked to you.
What's up?
All right, listen, I've been listening to this time slot for a long, long time. And let me tell you something. For you coming in late to work today, that's okay, because Joe DeCamera has done it many, many times.
He did, yeah. And I don't think his was about a car issue. I think he just overslept.
See, I don't like to come in. I don't like to be late to work, though, man. That's not the wheelhouse that I want to live in.
You don't want to be Joe DeCamera?
No, I don't want to do that, man. I enjoy our team meetings. I enjoy being like yelled at by a 20-something-year-old on a day-to-day basis.
Screamed at. I feel like Joe has actually been more on time for a show that he has to wake up 3 o'clock in the morning for than a show that he could wake up at, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 7, whatever. Joe's been less late in the morning. It's weird.
That is unbelievable that he could do that.
I know.
But I'll tell you what, that this 10 to 2 is he was always late. And Hugh, guess what?
What's up?
You picked him up now.
I picked him up.
Yeah, like you got carrying the torch. He's saying.
Okay, well, yeah, I don't want to. You know what, Tom? I don't want to carry that torch.
Well, now listen. Now, if you had a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment, that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a different story.
I'll give you a okay on that.
But see, even if I had that, I would not schedule it during the time that I'm at work. I would have to schedule that after work. Shout out to my dentist, Dr. Bonzi. She usually gets me in pretty quick. So, yeah. I wouldn't do that.
You guys work Monday through Friday. I mean, how many times are you going to find a doctor or a dentist when it's Saturday?
I got a great one. She works on Saturday. She does Saturday.
And
she,
Hugh sometimes needs that.
Yes. Yeah, the way my teeth set up.
All right. Well, listen. I want to talk about, dude, we are definitely going to extend Nick's contract.
What if they lose in the first round of the playoffs, Tom?
I don't care. You understand what this guy has done? Like, look what we have done. We ran Andy Reid out of town. The guy's won 3 Super Bowls.
He was here 14 years. We didn't run him out of town.
We ran him out of town.
He got 14. Now, look, I love Andy Reid. Tom, he got 14 years, and his last year here, they went 4-12 and won one game over 3 months.
You know, it's funny. Okay, but it was time to move on.
Look what Nick has done since he's been here. Look at his winning percentage. He's been in the playoffs. All you could ask for when you start the season, let's get to the playoffs, because once you get to the playoffs, then anything can happen. We've been to the playoffs every year he's been there. And now, okay, we haven't really failed. We went to the Super Bowl once. But come on, man. Give this guy a break. Everyone busts his butt all the time. He is like, he's a different dude, man. He's like,
well, that's for sure. Can I just wait until after the season, Tom? Am I allowed to wait? We wait till we see what happens the rest of this year. Playoffs, you know, we see how it goes. And then if they finish strong and they win a playoff game, he gets his contract extension. Am I being unreasonable here?
A little bit.
No, I would do it now. Extend it now.
You guys are just impatient, jumping. You just want to have your Sirianni victory lap. That's what this is about. Because if they give him the extension, see, Tom, I get it. You're just like Kyle. No, I'm just kidding. Appreciate the phone call. I think the Sirianni people want to have their day. I think that's what this is. Contract extension, celebrate Sirianni Day. I don't think we're asking too much you to wait until the season ends.
Yeah, I think, and there's a reason why I feel the way that I do. I just feel like some of the things that Coach Sirianni has done, the organization just wasn't too happy about. Let's not forget, a couple weeks ago when he got into it with the fan, he had to come back and apologize for that. That sounds like a HR situation.
You think he wore a suit to the office that day?
No, he didn't wear a suit, but I'm pretty sure he got called in the office and would say, hey, man, you got to walk that back. At the end of the day, this is still a business. The Eagles are a business, and they're efficient, and they're a highly ran organization, and they want to be perceived a certain way. They've done a tremendous job. When you think about top-notch organizations in the NFL, the Eagles are definitely one of them.
Oh, without question.
Without question.
I would say if you go to the last, since Andy got here, right, that was kind of the tipping point. It changed.
Yes.
You can go to when Jeff bought the
team. The way that they do things. There are people that have been in that organization since I got here. They take pride in that, and they do things a certain way. And so I feel like even though, you know, we talk about it and everything, I don't think they like the way the public perception is about the team and how it's ran right now. I think that's a little bit of an issue for them.
I would say last 25 years, right, 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can we come up with five better organizations in the NFL? I mean, Patriots, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Chiefs?
I would say yes.
Okay. The Colts have had a lot of success, Packers, but
they're a train wreck now.
I know they are now. Yeah. Yes, but I'm just trying to think like last 25 years. But the Eagles are right there, right? They're
not a whole lot of controversy.
Nope.
And
they, look, every once in a while there's a bad year, but that happens. Most years they're very competitive. Yeah, I mean they are.
It's like a mom and pop organization almost. Like that's what it kind of feels like. A lot of people, like I said, have been there forever. Not a whole lot of issues. Because I was even thinking the Texans. Even the Texans have had their issues over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, with the Deshaun Watson thing and the owner. Even the Patriots, the Robert Kraft situation down there in Florida.
That was a situation.
Yeah, it was. It was. And things like that. You don't really hear a whole lot. The worst thing that I could think of, as far as the Eagles are concerned, that happened was the Cooper?
Oh, yeah, Riley Cooper. And to me, that was an isolated incident of one guy
that doesn't happen. Yeah, yeah, that doesn't happen a whole lot.
No, it doesn't. So 215-592-9494. Let's go to Marple Mac in Malvern. What's up, Marple Mac?
Hey, I'm glad you took my call. Yeah, when you started off the program, you were talking about keeping the same coach and continuity instead of letting them go. I mean, look at the Steelers. They've only had three coaches in what? 55 years or something like that.
They've been pretty great coaches, though. Pretty great coaches.
Yeah. Well, I don't see why. I think you'd said it. This is what prompted me to call. When you said if he has this hanging over his head, well, if we don't win a playoff game, what's going to happen? He's distracted. Whereas if you give him an extension, 2 years, 2 year extension, you know. And you were talking about Throwback Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I'll help you out here.
What do you got?
Mike McCormick, who a lot of people don't realize this, his first 3 years as a coach, he beat Dallas twice. His first year, they were only 5-8-1, and he crushed them 30-16, I think it was. And, you know, brought over Gabriel and got him a 500 season. Then they had a downer his third year, and they brought in Vermeil, and his thing was, I want to turn things around here in Philadelphia. Cut loose Poe James, bad man for the team. Sixers could use a little bit of that and cutting them beat out of there. Anyway, so his first year is 4-10, second year is 5-9, but they outscored their opponents. Third year, they had the miracle of the Meadowlands, got them in the playoffs, lost to the Falcons because They had a guy that was an electrical contractor, Michelle, couldn't make an extra point, and he missed a chip shot 33-yard field goal. The following year, they were 11-5, beat the Walter Payton, you know, Bears. I was there with my brother, got tickets in the Navy Yard. And then
the next year, they're in the Super Bowl.
And next year in the Super Bowl, then they start. But they stuck with him for 7 years. And he pulled the plug. He said, I'm burned out. Was the year that was the strange year when they had the strike in 82. He said, I'm burned out, and I think the players deserve better. And then he turned it over to Marion Campbell.
Yeah, and then he didn't coach again for 15 years in the NFL, which is amazing. He took that long to come back. Yep.
But yeah, I think they ought to stay with it. I think they ought to extend him now. And Kyle was talking about my letters writing to the Sixers. I'm still wanting to know if any of you have investigated the ones I already wrote to Sirianni.
Well Hugh in particular is trying to track those letters down. I don't know. Have you gotten the letters yet, the Marvel Mack letters?
My inquiry has been inconclusive.
Yeah, we asked Marvel Mack. We will still do it. I mean, Elliot's down there every day, and Marvel Mack, we appreciate it. So we're going to...
Elliot's at the airport, ain't he? He turned up this morning.
Terminal ESP.
Yeah, he turned up this morning. He's out there hanging out with people getting ready to go to.
Can you imagine going like
LA? Imagine being on a red eye, you get off the plane. Is that Elliot Shore Parks?
At 7 in the morning?
What?
Yeah, he was out. He's doing get it in.
I mean, it's a great event. I mean, hang out with Elliot at the airport. We can talk Eagles. Yeah, we haven't tracked down the original Marple Mac letters. They're still out. It's almost to me like a. What was the message in the bottle back then? People would send it in the ocean, and you'd find
it. And
Marple Max letters. Like, one day someone will find them, and be like, what is this? Who's this message to Nick Sirianni in 2023? I think the...
Think it's going to take that long?
To find the letters?
Yeah.
Well, you've been trying on an everyday basis for
diligently. For a while.
I've been making calls back here, too.
Yeah, and we haven't found them?
No.
If you have any information about the Marple Mac letters, 215-592-9494. All right, it is a Thursday here, so why don't we do a little throwback Thursday sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. Oh, I like this music. I like this.
That's so dramatic.
It is. A little throwback Thursday. How about some Eagles-Rams memories over the years? Hugh, what do you got? The Eagles-Rams, I guess to you it's got to go back to that title game, right?
Yeah, the NFC Championship game, man. Troy, I never forget. Troy, I used to sit with Troy. We was at the hotel in New Orleans. No, St. Louis.
Mm. RCA and Dome, was that what they called it?
Yeah, and Troy was getting treatment because he had a bad groin pull. And I remember sitting in the treatment room with him, hoping he would get better. That was a tough game to play, man. That's when they were the greatest show on turf. And, man, I just remember that dome being just as loud as you wanted it to be. It was bananas up in there. Unfortunately, we lost. You know, but it was a valiant game, man. I think we were leading at the half at that one. And then Troy, you know, I guess that halftime when we came back out, his groin just couldn't hold up. And that's when all I saw at that point was the back of Marshall Faulk's jersey a lot.
Yeah, they were a great team.
And that's depressing.
Yeah, it was.
So you saw the back of Barry Sanders' jersey.
Yeah, there's a theme going on here.
Yeah, them some fast. Hey, listen, I am not ashamed of that. Those are two fast Hall of Famers.
I love the clip of that Barry Sanders documentary where you just like, your hands are on
hands
your
hands on the hips, man.
40 yards down the field, there goes Barry.
Yeah, I was like, hey, slow down, big fella. Might as well say that energy. You ain't catching nobody.
The shoe do
catch
anything
a
for us.
That's what you about to catch.
There's a lot of Eagles-Rams things. Obviously, that one is one of the biggest ones. It was an NFC Championship game over the years. But in recent years, there's been big ones, right? The Eagles at the Rams week, what was it, like 12 or 13 in 2017?
Yeah, I think they were 11-1, maybe?
They were coming.
11-2?
11-2.
Because they just lost to Seattle. That was their second loss of the season,
right.
So they were 11-2.
Yep, they lost to Seattle on a Sunday night, and they stayed on the West Coast, and they played in L.A. the next Sunday.
And if you remember, at that point in the season, it was like, are they legit, or are they just beating up on bad teams? Because the first time they went and played a decent team in Seattle on the road, they lost, and everyone's like, well, what kind of team do we have here? McVay and the Rams are going to be a good test.
And it was a great game. Unfortunately, the biggest memory of the game was Wentz getting hurt. Right? Wentz dives in the end zone. He hurts his knee. He gets up, and it was pretty darn tough for this. He threw the two-point conversion on one leg, and then he walked off the field. I remember Howard's report that he went in the tent. Now he's leaving the field. And then Foles came in. They won the game. BG walked it off with a touchdown. I think a defensive score at the end.
That's right. Yep, and Foles hit that. It was Aguilar on third down to sort of seal the game.
Yep, with a field goal late in the game. So they won. They clinched. That was to clinch the division, I believe. Clinched the NFC East that day. But obviously it set the stage for Wentz being out and the whole Foles thing. And then the next year they went there again. If I remember correctly, they were like 13-point underdogs.
Dogs, okay.
They were 5-7. I'm trying to remember the record at that point. 5-6 or whatever. They were at 500 or worse.
I think they start 4-6, and then they had ripped off.
They lost in Dallas the week before because Wentz in Dallas was his last game of the year. Right, he had a back issue, and then they shut him down, or they said he was out for the Ram game, and everyone just assumed the season was over.
It was on the upswing of that run by the end of the year.
I think they went on a run, but then lost in Dallas to kind of fall back off. But then Wentz went out, Foles in 2018, and somehow they won that game, and that was against. I think that was the Rams team that made the Super Bowl. Like, they were flying high at that time with Goff. They were really good. Eagles won there, and then they didn't lose again until the divisional round.
And I remember that because it was, if we had beaten the Saints, we would have played the Rams in the championship game.
Again,
and Eagles fans were like, well, we saw what happened last time.
They just had beat him 6 weeks prior.
Foles would have repeated, man.
If Foles repeats, that's crazy. I mean, he's the quarterback. There's no question. Moving off a back-to-back Super Bowl champion, that would have been that. There's been a lot of big ones. Eagles, Rams, we get another one coming up on Sunday. All right, Buster joins us at 1. First, though, JD in Southwest Philly. What's up, JD?
What's going on, man?
JD, what's up? JD? All
right, so this is, let's start this phone conversation off like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a caveat. Personality, to me, does not mean more than talent to me. It never has. It never will, right? Now, I get it. The city wants a pound of flesh. Everybody's upset. Everybody's mad, right? But I'm not going to let y'all rewrite history, and that's not what I'm going to let y'all do. As Embiid pissed me off recently with some of the stuff that he's done, yes, he has. But for 10 years, I have seen this man go out there and play hard. Literally, the only difference between him and Allen Iverson is the fact that he cannot stay healthy. But for 10 years, I've seen this man try. I've seen this man go out and play in the playoffs with injuries. I've seen him cry like a 3-year-old child when he missed the playoff game, when he lost in the playoffs. So don't tell me he don't care, okay? He's pissed off right now, and that's all it is. He's pissed off, and he's fed up. He's pissed off, and he's fed up. So recently, he's doing some things that the people can kill him for, right? And that's what they're doing. But he hasn't been like this for 10 years. And you're not going to convince me that he's been like that for 10 years because, unfortunately, I'm one of these people that don't treat the Sixers like a red-headed stepchild until the Eagles season is over with. I watch him. I love him. This is my team. So you're not going to convince me that this man has been like this for 10 years.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Hugh. Ask your question, Hugh.
Because, I'm not trying to vilify Joel Embiid. His teammates are talking about this. Like, so, and I would think in this situation, they have way more information than I have. So I don't understand that aspect, why you upset with us, because these are the guys that see Joel Embiid on a day-to-day basis. And this is what they're asking of him, and he's not giving it to them. So my question to you is this, JD. If they see him on a day-to-day basis and they work with him every day, how can you justify defending this man? And they're telling you that he ain't living up to par. How can you justify that?
Okay, Hugh, and now I ask you this question, and it's simple. How many times have we heard this over the past 10 years? All right, the reason I'm upset with the fans, to answer your question, the reason I'm upset more so with the fans than with his teammates is because this is what's been going on for years. Like the people that don't like Joel Embiid is never gonna like him. Now you can now use this as an excuse because it just came up. But I've heard Howard kill Embiid for years.
But he's right. He's right. He's heard things and he's told us that he's late all the time and he works on his own schedule. Now the players are telling you the same thing. JD, I appreciate your fandom, but I think that sometimes when you love something that much, you close your eyes to the truth. And I think that's what's going on here.
I thought you were
going to
say you got to let it go.
Well, you also got to let it go. And last thing is, we got Buster coming up next. We'll talk some Phillies here. He said nothing's different between him and Allen Iverson than the few things he mentioned. You can't just
take you to the championship.
Yes,
though.
Thank you, Hugh. You can't just leave that out. Okay, in 2001, Allen Iverson. Led a team.
And he didn't go to practice.
Led a team.
And he took a bunch of bums.
No
disrespect.
Tyrone Hill and George Lynch, come on.
I'm just using what everybody else said.
Yes.
He dragged the team to a final.
And on the way, he beat Hall of Famers in the first round, Reggie Miller. Second round with the Bucks and Ray Allen. The Vince Carter and the Raptors, then the Bucks. Back-to-back-to-back Hall of Famers, he topped to get to the finals.
And he didn't work hard to do it. Let him tell it.
Do you know who the best player Joel Embiid's team has beaten in the playoffs? Like, the best star on the opposing team is Pascal Siakam. Okay, that's Joel Embiid's career. Defeating the best player he's beat in the playoffs is Pascal Siakam, and you want to compare him to Allen Iverson? Stop. 215-592-9494. A lot of Phillies rumors discussed. We'll get to your phone calls on Embiid, the Sixers, and, of course, Nick Sirianni. We'll talk about it all, and Buster Olney will join us. Are the Phillies going to trade Bohm? What could they get? And the latest on the Juan Soto sweepstakes. Sports Radio 94 WIP.